Joined now by Brock Mosley here in anticipation of the Bassmaster Classic here in Tulsa at Grand Lake of the Cherokees. And Brock, we're talking to the guys a little bit about the youth movement that we have seen. So many young guys have moved in and made the elites this past class of new elites. And you're still a young guy yourself, but you got to feel like a little bit of a grizzled veteran when you see these kids coming in.
Absolutely. You know, I think I was 24 when I qualified for the elites, but, you know, the high school bass fishing has a lot to do with it. You know, college fishing, you know, guys get to start at an earlier age and get to travel over and learn new techniques. But, yeah, it's come a long ways.
The topic of the season, obviously, has been forward-facing sonar, and it kind of ties in with the young guys. Have you got a thought about it? Would you like to see it be restricted, outlawed, or open gangway and hang transducers all over the boat?
Well, you know, that's kind of a tricky question that could go either way. You know, we have seen the success of the young anglers, and it's all been – we haven't seen them actually catch one without it yet. So you got to give a lot of credit to forward-facing sonar and the way technology's come a long ways. You know, usually guys like me that's been around several years, you see us use it primarily strictly up north, you know. I know me personally, I struggle with – fighting my instincts, I guess would be the best word, when we're down here down south. You know, Toledo Bend, for instance, you know, practice, we start hitting a warming trend, water's getting to low to mid 60s, we're coming up on a full moon. You know, my instincts tells me, hey, they're fishing to go to the bank and do their thing, they're wanting to spawn that time of year. And they didn't. The females didn't. I mean, you know, and it cost me, you know, I'm caught 14 pounds a day on the bank, and it looks like I don't know what I was doing. So you know, me, it's just a personal battle with it. It's kind of like an alcoholic and beer. You're not going to leave an alcoholic a beer in his refrigerator. And it's hard for me when we're down here, fighting everything that I've learned over the years. So that's my one-on-one battle with it. But you know, it's the only thing I would say I would like to see is maybe some restrictions, because, you know, like me, 10 years ago when I qualified, I was driving an $8,500 truck. I wouldn't be able to afford to qualify nowadays, with all the electronics they make you think that you need on your boat nowadays to compete. And that's kind of the only thing, you know, one of the main things I don't like. I've had people tell me at boat shows and expos this year that, you know, they're not going to tournament fish this year, they're only going to fun fish because they can't afford a transducer and a new graph. So that's kind of where I, you know, the only thing that upsets me about it. So who knows, you know, maybe we'll make some changes. And you know, I'd like to see the young guys in a fishing tournament once, you know, a couple of years. Just change it up. Have a little fun with it.
Have you learned anything, though, that you saw that was an aha moment by utilizing forward-facing? And you said, well, you know, that's something I did not think of, the way bass react.
You know, like I said, we use it a lot up north. And Lake Champlain, for instance, last year, I was catching my fish anywhere from 50 to 70 foot of water, and they would be suspended only 20 or 30 foot down. Fish that you would never catch without it. For instance, second day of the tournament, I get to the area I'm going to fish. Literally did not crank my big motor up till it was time to go to weigh in. I just trolled around and panned all day. And I was actually just following the school around. And just things, stuff like that, that you would never do without it. So, you know, it's a legit technology. And it's extremely easy to use. And it seems like the less you know about fishing, the better you'll be with it. Because you don't have those fighting urges fighting against you that you want to go do something else. So, you know, it's come a long way. It's pretty impressive.
Dakota Lithium Pro, Brock Mosley. Brock, appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Joined now by John Cox, and standing in front of his beautiful boat here. Let's talk a little bit about a topic that is, I'm sure, near and dear to your heart. You're the last of the Mohicans. I think you're the only one left that doesn't have the forward-facing on your boat. You're a power fisherman. You love fishing shallow. A lot of our listeners are right there with you. Just your thoughts on being able to compete. Has it discouraged you a little bit to know that there's a different kind of fishing that's going on than what you're doing?
I mean, it's a little, you know, I mean, it's the weights are getting, you know, a lot more and stuff, and it's getting harder to hang. But, you know, I mean, them guys, they spend a lot of time using it and stuff too. So, I mean, they've learned that thing, you know. And, but, yeah, I don't know. I you know, I fight with it. I mean, I have the Lowrance Active Target. I have it in the box, in the front seat of my truck, actually. And I look
works real good there.
You know, I look at it every day and you know, contemplate whether I should put it on or not. And I don't know. I just I'd see now more, you know, we're all learning more and more and more. We see a lot of the lives and the guys catching them and stuff. And I'm seeing like what a lot of them are doing and how well they're doing. And it just scares me to, if I put that on, you know, am I not going to swim the jig anymore? You know, am I not going to flip much anymore? You know, stuff I like to throw, you know, I've been on a big swim bait kick the last like year now. So, I just don't want that stuff to go away. That's why I really enjoy, throwing, you know, cranking in a foot of, mm-hmm. foot and a half of water. I just don't want that to go away. So I think that's why I'm just not putting it on.
You used to joke about when we make the northern swing about how you're going to have to go deep, like 6, maybe 8 feet deep, you know, and fish like that. But it does seem to be you're comfortable in your own skin where you're going to fish the way you want to fish. And you know, you're a power fisherman. Now, you have done some things a little bit different. We see you with a spinning rod. We see you throwing a wacky rig and that kind of stuff a little bit more. So you have adapted somewhat within where you want to fish.
Right. I mean, yeah, I have. I mean, that was something I fought. Forever. I mean, I fought the whole spinning rod, wacky rig thing, and I throw the jerk shad a lot on it too. But I mean, pretty much until 2016, and when I finally was like, okay, you know, I've gone 4 years without winning at that point, that I need to do something. And that's when I started picking it up, and I won one of the tour events, and then won the cup that very that same year. So, you know, I kind of feel like we're kind of in that same kind of area where, you know, it's so hard to win now without it, you know. And but I'm still holding out, you know. You hope fish change, but it's just, you know, it's hard when, you know, I can only see a fish on, you know, a sunny calm day at maybe 15-20 feet, and you know, guys are seeing them at 180 all the time.
God, it made me sick just talking about it.
Well, maybe all the offshore fishing is going to push them back to the bank. That's what I'm hoping. The bank will come alive.
I know. I mean, the thing is, a lot of those, a lot of people, I think, misunderstand the shallow fish. Most of them, I think, live offshore, and they're coming in to feed and you know, whatever different conditions. So we're still catching all the same fish. So. I don't know. I haven't seen much change.
All right. Most importantly, will we ever see the return of the flow? I mean, the curly flow was something.
So I missed it. I mean, we had Night of Champions the other night, and like, you know, usually I have like my hair dyed and like, you know, some kind of hairdo going, and I had nothing. I had a shaved gray head, so I wore a hat, you know. it looked kind of like I was kind of frowned on, and the other guys were really jealous that I got to wear a hat. And but yeah, I don't know. I'm 38 maybe. I'm almost 40 years old, so I just don't know. I feel like at some time I have to become an adult and have an adult haircut.
John Cox has been our guest. John, I appreciate you. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Joined now by Brandon Cobb, Lake Hartwell fisherman. That's his home area, and all 100% accuracy. The first time I ever saw forward facing sonar was fishing with Justin Hamner on Lake Hartwell at an open in 2018. So, at a lake like that, obviously it works so well when you're chasing fish, you know, that are chasing herring and so on. Talk a little bit about your experience with it so far and how quickly you've adapted to it versus, you know, the shallow bite.
Yeah. So. The front sonar, definitely a lake like Hartwell, any lake like that with spotted bass, number one, but then herring even make it more dominant, is you have to learn to use it. And as far as like my competency with it, I do, I do use it quite often. You have to, but as far as I can't forget the shallow bite. I just love doing that. That's why I grew up fishing. That's what I love to do. So I would say I don't concentrate on it much. But when I use it a lot to try to catch fish that I'm fishing for anyway, rather than tailor my day around it, I use it when I'm fishing whatever I'm fishing.
Seth Fider made a kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment, but it was maybe serious in one of his own videos when asked about how things would go on Grand Lake. And he said he thought that maybe somebody might win at bass fishing, which was, I think, a kind of a unique way of saying, you know, maybe that comes into play. But this time of year, this body of water, can somebody win at bass fishing?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll see a ton of fish caught with it. But what's unique about Grand is the way the fish, at least in my experience this week, position. They don't seem to suspend a ton, which is when front sonar really, really plays. They like to, whether it's in 6 foot of water, 1 foot of water, they like to sit on the bottom. And that makes them really, really hard to see. And, like, I've caught a lot of fish on a jerkbait this week that front sonar helped me catch. But I actually threw the bait and the fish were not there until I started working the bait. So yes, I might have used it to kind of catch those fish, but you couldn't see them till you fished for them. So I think you will see it play, but it will be throughout just fishing.
All right, we're going to make you the commissioner for 2 minutes of all of professional bass fishing. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see? Would you want limitations? Do you think you can't limit it at all? One on a boat? What's your take on it?
Yeah, so I actually just made a video on this, on my opinion on the whole debate and what it's became. Is I don't think it can go away because it's too kind of ingrained in the sport at this point. Unless states start thinking it's not great for the fisheries, then I don't think it can go away entirely in tournament fishing, but it's got out of hand. It's, with, 6, 8, 9 units and 4 or 5 transducers, it's got a little excessive. So I think it definitely needs to go back to 1 transducer and 1 live view transducer. But as far as the whole tournament aspect, that's not really going to change anything. And so my opinion is because you limit to 1, it's super easy for removal. And I think you basically alternate tournaments throughout the season because it's kind of got now to where, like, if you went tournaments 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, where you could not use it, tournaments 2, 4, 6, and 8, you can use it. Then it would, as far as AOI, as far as the classic qualifier, as far as that goes, you would have to be good at both. And right now, I'm not saying that a lot of people doing well, I'm not saying they're only good at it. A lot of people have kind of skewed it to that, but you can only do that and potentially win AOI, but definitely make the classic doing 1 technique basically the whole season, which I think is not great for the sport. So if you alternate it, it would go both ways.
That's a great take. That's a unique take. I haven't heard that one yet. Finally, Greg Hackney says that he thinks that they're responding a little bit to it, that he has literally seen them swim away basically from that pinging and from that. Do you think the fish are getting conditioned at all to forward-facing sonar?
So my opinion, when it first came out, I thought that would happen. I thought a lot of fish would go back to the bank, a lot would avoid it. But I think the problem is their safe space is out offshore. So the more they get pressured, they're not going to go to the bank. They're going to stay offshore or even go more offshore to own nothing. So I don't think it really affects them as much as making them not bite or anything like that. I think it just repositions them to where they're trying to get away from us, which is more and more away from what we have traditionally fished.
Brandon Cobb, good luck this weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Joined now by 13 Fishing Pro, Rapala Fishing Pro, Kyle Welsher, Crush City Pro, Kyle Welsher. And what a Crush City stuff has been on a roll for sure. And what's kind of nice about the line is it seems like you can beat the bank with it, but you can also go out there and use, some of the mayor and some other the freeloader. And if you're using the forward-facing sonar application. So it's a lot of good variety, it seems like, in that Crush City line.
Yeah, absolutely. And just based off the past results, I was talking to, the marketing guy from Crush City last night, and I said, that has to make your chance of winning go up by like 30%, just by using Crush City because how it's been the past couple of years. But the reason it's been such a dominant is exactly what you said. It's multiple applications, multiple different ways to use the baits, and you can go from shallow to deep with them.
All right, so Brandon Cobb just had a very interesting idea. Everybody's talking about forward-facing sonar. He said if you really want to determine a angler of the year, you got to use different kind of techniques. You're the reigning angler of the year. He said he'd like to see it be available only at every other tournament. So you'd fish half your tournaments with it, and half the tournaments it would be outlawed. This way you wouldn't have a scenario where somebody could win angler of the year doing the same thing in 9 different tournaments. What's your thought about that?
I think it would be interesting, and I think that anything like that does – make the cream rise to the top a little bit more. But, if the goal is to catch the 5 biggest fish possible every single day and that's the way to do it, the best guy that year used the tools he had to use. But I would also like to see it. Last year, I didn't really use forward-face sonar until we went up north. So in like 6 of them, I didn't use forward-face sonar at all.
Wow, there you go. And that's your angler of the year. Besides, just finally talk about the weight of carrying that angler of the year title. We have seen guys really struggle in the year after. A lot of demands on your time. A lot of people like me reaching out to you and talking to you and so on. How have you balanced that with your fishing?
I've always had the same motto. It's just trust the process. And I try to work hard every single day to be better than I was the day before. And that didn't change. My preparation's the same. My routine's the same. There's a little bit less time in the day now, it seems like. But I don't think that's going to cloud me up this year. And I think we're still going to do fine.
You wouldn't give it back, though.
No, absolutely not.
Kyle Welcher.
I'll take another one.
All right, I'm going to predict a maybe if it's this weekend, maybe not, but it's coming. That classic title is next. K-Dub, I appreciate you.
Thank you. No problem.
Just causing problems.
Joined now by Ben Milliken. He has taken this whole tournament fishing thing by storm. He represents the 402, and he is a big fish specialist for sure. And he joins us now for a couple of minutes. Ben, it's really not this easy. I mean, what you did last year on the Opens to qualify in your first go-round, and now you're second in the standings to a high school kid, basically. But, you know, we won't talk about that. But, you know, through two events, it's been amazing. Did you expect that it would be this, I don't want to say easy, but did you expect this kind of early success when you decided to take it from just being a YouTube to going out there and competing with the best of the best?
No, I mean, you don't expect anything or plan anything, and that's kind of how I live. I don't really have any goals or plans or anything. I just try to, like, do the best every single day and see where that gets me.
As I said, you represent the 402. That's the Omaha area, I believe, in Nebraska, where you're from. What kind of response do you get back there? I mean, do you hear people that say, hey, man, that is so cool that you're representing us?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have really loved that from back home in Nebraska. And a ton of those people are going to be here at the Classic, a lot of them in boats on the water. So I'm going to have quite the gallery, it sounds like.
How do you manage that for you? I mean, you're a big fish guy, you're a big bait guy, but how do you manage having a little flotilla and kind of keeping them in the right spot, if you will, while you're fishing?
Well, I'm glad I've had it in a couple of the Opens, especially the Toledo Open I won. We had a big crowd the last day. It can be challenging at times, especially when you're fishing with live scope and open water and stuff, because you're not necessarily like sitting on a brush pile and they know they can stay back there. Like, I might be roaming through the crowd of people looking for fish, but at least here I think it's going to be a little bit easier because I'm not going to be out in the middle doing that type of thing. So biggest thing will just be kind of easing in and idling up to some areas so the props, wakes, and everything don't wash them out before I get there.
You're known to be one of the best with the live scope. There's no doubt about it. But if somebody told you, okay, we're going to have an event or two or three events, and we're going to eliminate live scope from that, you're a very confident guy. You feel like you're still on them if you know, without it, if that was the case for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. I would love that, actually. I think that's a direction that is going to go at some point here, or at least be talked about, maybe three or four events without live scope. Hopefully, the only thing I hope is that it gets put on places that it'd be really fun to have tournaments like that. I wouldn't want to go to a lake like this one or like the first two we went to at a time of year when the fish are out off the bank and not be able to use it. But if we went somewhere that was like a flipping frogging type derb, a river system, that'd be super fun. I'd enjoy that.
Million followers, is that right? I was telling everybody that you had 600,000 followers on YouTube. You have a million subs now, is that right?
Not on YouTube, on all the platforms together, yes, sir. So I got, 550-something on Facebook as well on top of the YouTube, and then 100-some thousand on Instagram now, too. It's crazy.
You anticipate being able to continue to make the videos, the amount of videos that you make, even with this crazy schedule of elites? And you know, as you win these things, you know, there's going to be more demands on your time. Do you feel like you can still get out there and do those videos that you do?
We can definitely keep them going, everything. Cole works his butt off at that. But yeah, there's always balance, and one thing always takes away from something else. So I kind of always have to shift my focus, because my biggest thing is that I'm home at a decent time with my family as much as possible. And that's the most important thing. So we'll keep that up.
There you go. Ben Milliken. He's going to be a player all season long for sure. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Joined now by a guy that I fished an open with, Joey Nania. We had a great day down at Okeechobee when we did that, and Joey is now trying to set the record for the most Bassmaster Classics without being an elite yet. So that he'll make the elites. It's coming. I guarantee it'll happen at some particular point in time. But this is your second go around. Just talk about kind of going through it a second time with the media frenzy and everything else.
Yeah, you know, the first time was at Hartwell, and so as far as the fishing goes, like, I was right at home. I had a good spotted bass pattern, had a good largemouth pattern. I felt a little bit more at home as far as the fishing goes, but this being my second go-around here at Grand Lake and being in Tulsa, I love it here. Like, I really do like Grand Lake, and it's a unique fishery, and it's huge. I am used to fishing in the Bassmaster Opens, which have 200-plus boats, and it's like a zoo of fishing like we experienced on Okeechobee. But here, it's 56 guys, and so you're not going to have to worry as much about pressure. You can just go fishing, and, you know, the media day here at the Classic, all this stuff it can be exhausting, but I know why God put me here, and that's to glorify Him, and I'm going to get to do that on that stage, whether I catch a bass or not.
Do you think anybody will do what Edwin Evers did and go way up the river like that? He had that 29-pound bag. It was crazy back in 2016 where he did that. I don't know how many people have explored that, but do you think that's in play at all this year? Is it a totally different deal going up the Elk River?
I think what Edwin did up in the Elk will be in play. I do think there was so much publicity about it and so much knowledge of what he did that it probably got beat up pretty bad. And I know that area can only support a couple boats, but I wouldn't be shocked to see it happen again. I mean, for some reason, the Elk has got the biggest bass in the lake in it, and I think it'll definitely play a factor. At least there hasn't been, like, some big, you know, mud blowout or something. It's going to be clear. The water's a little low. I don't know what the level was in 2016. I probably should have looked at that. But yeah, I definitely think the whole lake is in play. I think it could be one anywhere from one end to the next.
Talk a little bit about forward-facing sonar. We've heard a lot of different thoughts about it. Obviously, it's the topic of the year. Brandon Cobb just had a really interesting concept. He said that if you want to determine a true angler of the year, go every other tournament with it. And so that you can't win angler of the year doing one thing throughout the entire circuit, which I think is kind of interesting. But what's your take on it as far as its application, you know, week in and week out now in on the tournament circuit?
You know, I love forward-facing sonar, but we still go to lakes where you can just go fishing. And now it is sad, like, we call it fishing. Like, if you caught them not scoping, you actually were fishing. And I don't want the art of fishing to ever be lost in our sport, the art of feeling, the art of, you know, running patterns and dialing that stuff in. But even then, like, even when I'm fishing shallow, I'm still using it. Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. But I think it'd be cool to see something split up. It doesn't bother me. Like, I've been doing this long enough where if they took away my forward-facing sonar, I could still go fishing and catch them. Now, both the opens I've won, forward-facing sonar played a role in them. So, like, it's hard to say, like, oh, I wish it wasn't there because I wouldn't be sitting here at the Bassmaster Classic again without it.
All right, finally, we got an open that's coming up down on your home waters at Logan Martin. And just talk about that, because there's going to be a really special event that's going to take place before the tournament gets started, I think the night before. And I'm looking forward to coming to your home church and listening to you a little bit. But talk about that, because I'm sure that's open to all the fishing fans that want to come out there and take that in.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, anytime you're in a tournament, it's really easy to get distracted and bogged down with trying to catch fish and the whole thing. And I'm going to fish my hardest. But the coolest thing is the ministry opportunities we have. We've got Legacy Night, the Sunday night before the tournament at my home church. So like 4 days before actual blast off for the tournament. And then I'm actually going to be preaching at Seddon Baptist Church, my home church, like you talked about. And that's just such a cool opportunity. You know, I've got my brothers and my sisters in Christ that are at all these opens, and the ministry opportunities are amazing. And that's our church family when we're on the road. So they get to come to my home church now, and I get to preach and share the word of God. And I'm grateful for these opportunities to do that and not just be so focused on the fishing side of it, but focus on glorifying God. And He's in control of all this anyway. So I'm just going to worry about what He wants and be in His will and see if I'm meant to win it, I will. If not, I'm still going to glorify Him.
And hopefully He'll tell you which side of the boat to throw your net on, right?
He does every time. The Holy Spirit's a great God.
There you go, Joey and Nania. Thanks, Joey.
Thank you.
Joined now by Corey Johnston, who was a claim to fame, forget this fishing thing, banned for life twice from summer ball hockey. Two-time lifetime ban, which means even if he comes back again as a fisherman in another life, he's banned once again. How does that possibly happen twice?
Well, I mean, after the first time, you just got to write a nice apology letter, and apparently they give you a second chance, and second chance didn't go real well.
All right, well, you get a lot of second chances with fishing, that's for sure. We spent a lot of time today talking to everybody about the topic that is dominating the fishing world right now, which is the issue of forward-facing sonar. I thought Brandon Cobb had a very interesting take. He said he'd love to see it, if you're going to determine a true angler of the year, he'd love to see it allowed in every other tournament, like have half tournaments with it, half tournaments without it, so that you can't win angler of the year doing one thing. You know, you got to show that you got some versatility. What's your thought about something like that?
I couldn't agree more. That's I mean, there's a lot of people now, and for the record, I'm not against it. Like, I have no problem with it, but the problem that I do have is it makes fishing very one-dimensional. So a lot of these people growing up, that's all they know. They don't know how to flip, they don't know how to punch a mat, they don't know how to fish grass. It's strictly looking at the screen, and that's all they can do. So I couldn't agree more with with that, half the tournaments with it and half without, and at the end of the year, see what happens.
Seth Fighter had an interesting comment about this tournament, asking whether or not it would be one, you know, forward facing or not, and he said, he goes, no, I think somebody might win it bass fishing, which I thought was a really interesting way to put it, just bass fishing.
Yeah, and he's not wrong, but I mean, it very well could happen where someone's just going fishing, you know, down the bank. But at the end of the day, I would almost bet everything I own that some of their fish will get caught from forward facing sonar, whether it's looking at brush piles with the forward facing sonar, or, you know, under docks or on logs or whatever, they will utilize it somehow.
I grew up on the shores of Lake Ontario, the southern shores of Lake Ontario, Webster, New York, and you know, we would run up to Henderson Harbor and up into the Thousand Islands and so on, and catch those great smallmouth. And sometimes we'd go out into the lake, sometimes we wouldn't. Just talk about how much has changed. I mean, it's been an ATM machine for you and your brother. You guys have done so well there. But now it seems like because of forward facing, you know, those fish seem to be getting a ton of pressure out in the main lake, regardless of the fact that there's 5 and 6 pounders out there now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all it's doing is it's exposing more and more of those fish. You know, they've always lived out there. It's just they never got targeted as much, and now those fish are starting to get very smart. They're getting educated, and it's just making them harder to catch. They adapt very well.
How do you feel about the impact on the fishery itself? Do you think that it is something that is literally hurtful to the fishery, or is it just there's so many out there it's not going to create a problem?
I mean, I don't think that the forward-facing sonar is hurting it. I think it's everybody that goes there in the spring and plucks them off nests. I think that hurts it big time. I mean, I went there to practice for a tournament in like the first week of July, and I couldn't even get a spot at a boat ramp on the St. Lawrence River, and I got there at 10 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, every person is out there with a flogger, and everyone's catching them off nests. So I think that impacts the fishery more than a forward-facing sonar does.
Corey Johnson's been our guest. Corey, good luck this week.
Thank you.
Joined by the great one now to Hack Attack, Greg Hackney. And, Greg, you gave us one of the quotes of the year so far on stage, Toledo Bend, I believe you is where it was. And you said to Dave Mercer, apparently they're out in the ocean, referring to the fish and where they were being caught. It was a great line, but it is daunting. We've seen what forward-facing sonar has done, and it does kind of feel like that, like they're out in the ocean.
Yeah, they definitely are. You know, what we've learned, either of two things have happened. Either they've lived out there for eons, or, you know, as bass fishermen, we've done such a good job of figuring out all the other places they've been, we've actually ran them out there. I think there's probably more to that, that pressure is one of the things that have put them in the ocean. And over time, where will pressure put them next? Because, you know, with the new technology, we're able to chase a bass anywhere they swim. They cannot hide anymore. They have been elusive in the past. That is no more. We have figured out the way to spotlight largemouth bass. So it'll be interesting to see, like, how fast, honestly. I think, honestly, they're going to catch on to this pretty quick. I think they will, more so on highly pressured lakes. And more so on largemouth in the south, where people fish, you know, pretty much year-round. I think that we will see that advancement in fish happening pretty quick. So, because think about this. This is not the first revolutionary technology that's come out in the sport of bass fishing. I mean, all of our equipment now is the best it's ever been, and they always seem to stay one step ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I suppose they can still hide in the grass by a tree stump or somewhere in there where we can take a Hack Attack jig and still catch them that way. Are they selling any of those anymore? Do they start, everything's a minnow. Is there a Hack Attack minnow coming out that goes on? Is there a little, like, you know, 1/16-inch minnow jig coming out from Greg Hackney?
I don't think we'll see that, because, you know, the good thing about a bass, even though that we've learned a new area to chase them, they didn't leave from the old area.
That's a good point. That's a great point that they'll still be there. You told us on Bassmaster Radio that you do think that the fish have become conditioned a little bit. You've seen schools swimming away from that pinging. But just like they'll still hit a creature bait or a plastic worm, it seems like there's always going to be a certain amount of fish in the grass and in those, you know, along the shallow water and so on, especially this time of year. And maybe in this tournament as well. Just talk about how you think that could come into play here at this Classic.
You know, honestly, if I was a betting man, I would be betting that you'll see the field 50-50 this week. I mean, of course, there are guys that have really, really embraced the new technology, and I'm sure they spent their whole practice doing that, and they'll spend the entire event doing that. Then you have other guys that have fished a lot in the past, and they see the weather that we're having and the lake we're on. This lake is a structure lake. Fish live on structure in this lake. And one of the places that you cannot see them with the forward-facing sonar is on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So when those fish are sitting on the bottom or extremely shallow, you just still have to fish what I call traditionally.
Yeah.
You know, you have to make educated guesses where you think they're setting at and make that cast. So I think this week we'll see a mix of both. I'll be honest with you, I'm not betting against either one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Only time will tell.
Seth Fighter said it perfectly. He said, this could be one bass fishing. And it was just, you know, he just said it kind of tongue in cheek, but he says, you know, somebody might win at bass fishing.
I feel like that'll be my best chance.
That could be your shot. Now you're a former angler of the year, so you know what it takes to win and the different techniques that you would have to use normally, you know, over 9 or 10 tournaments to win the angler of the year. Brandon Cobb had an interesting take. He said, you know what? Let's use it every other tournament. Let's eliminate it every other tournament and make everybody – so you can't win Angler of the Year doing the same thing for 9 straight tournaments. I thought that was kind of an interesting take. What do you think about something like that where it was, half the events, you got to shut that thing down?
I'm not a fan of that, I'll be honest with you. We either have to go all in on it or get rid of it completely. But I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have a problem getting rid of all of it. If we're going to get rid of it every other event, let's just get rid of all of it every other event. One event, you can have everything you can manage, you possibly can have. The next event, you don't have anything but your head.
Oh, you're saying down sonar, 2D, 360, whatever, turn all the electronics on. I like it for practice. I think that's fantastic, but that is an interesting concept. Then we got to handicap Rick Klund then. Then we got to worry about Rick Klund's going to find some bird diving out of the sky and hitting a school of fish.
Here's the deal. If we don't do that, we will never see that again.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. That's probably the only drawback to it. You don't see it. You don't see as much of that intuition.
Yeah.
Fishing, you get out. You wake up in the morning, there are bugs flying around a light outside, and you're like, "I need to be throwing a topwater this morning."
Yeah,
things like that that we have seen in the past. It's probably the only thing we don't see with it. But again, I'm not against it. I just think that in time we'll see where it goes.
You know, final thought. I wonder, and I haven't surveyed the young guys, and I don't want to be get off my lawn guy here, but I wonder how many of those guys hunt. It used to always be fishermen and hunted, you know, and without that kind of technology for hunting, you know, because you're certainly not going to be allowed to spotlight, you know, deer, it makes you wonder a little bit, those young guys that are so proficient with it, whether or not they ever go in the woods and kind of connect with nature, if you will.
I will say, if you can look back in the past, typically all the really good fishermen like that were my heroes growing up, they're also all were avid hunters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you, this group is really young. You know, I've had the opportunity to fish against what I call both groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, because I don't really know these guys yet. And a lot of them, the newer guys, have not been out here very long. They're all good dudes. We don't know them yet.
Yeah.
We will know them over time. We will learn these things.
Yeah, they will. And through 2 events, we have a 19-year-old kid leading the AOI, which is brain. I have spinnerbaits that are older than that kid. I guarantee you that's a fact. Greg Hackney has been our guest. One thing left on the list for Greg Hackney to check off, and it is a Bassmaster Classic. This is the kind of place that it could happen. Greg, wish you the best of luck, man.
Thank you.